the content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Tyra Banks for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Essence. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. Marlon Wayans is him. Our brother on the big screen shares his thoughts on art, family, and his unwavering sense of purpose. God put me here for a reason, and I'm going to fulfill that. And this article is by Okla Jones III. The world is watching Marlon Wayans. That's been true for a while. On May 20th, 1999, the Wayans brothers aired its final episode. But even after five seasons of laughs and unforgettable moments, plus a return by the Temptones that rivaled any musical group out there, the iconic sitcom wasn't afforded a proper send-off. Though disheartening, its abrupt cancellation wasn't uncommon, especially for television shows that featured black talent. For Wayans, one of the show's writer and its co-star, this wasn't a door closing. It served as a window, providing access to endless possibilities. You know what's funny, he says, when I express my disdain for the show's premature end some 26 years ago? I'm happy it happened that way. It just created an opportunity for me and my brother to do a great movie, the final episode. And when we do our Wayans Brothers special, I'm not going to sit around and just talk about the nostalgia of the show. We're going to do the last episode. That is the essence of Marlon Wayans, always seeing life's trials, tribulations, and obstacles as an opportunity to create something new, something beautiful for the world to experience. This mindset began in him at an early age. It was cultivated within the walls of his family's unit in New York City's Bolton Projects. As the youngest of 10 siblings and a member of the heralded Wayans clan, Marlon was always an observer, building on the foundation that was laid before him, but never afraid to forge his own path. I got to watch what they did right and assess what they could have done better, he explains. But I think in order to become a trailblazer yourself, you can't just follow footsteps. You have to create your own. I've been fortunate to watch so much success and be a part of so much success, and to understand that there is no failure, and at the end of the day, there is no real bad choice. God's going to lead you exactly where you need to be. Sometimes there's a choice, choice A and choice B. Choice B is just taking you the long route. Choice A may be the shortcut. Either way it goes, that journey is between you and God. But you're going to get to where you're going as long as you don't give up. Resilience is Wayans' central theme on the path to mental, physical, and emotional prosperity. It has also been pivotal in the success of this talented multi-hyphenate. He has led shows like The Funniest Wins and his self-titled sitcom. He has left his stamp on a bevy of notable works such as In Living Color, White Chicks, and G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra. The demand for Marlon Wayans is as high as ever. What exactly is he planning on doing next? Well, whatever he wants. Wayans has been in the entertainment industry for 35 years and around it his entire life. So for humility to be one of his most prominent character traits says a lot about how he was brought up. Unless you've been under a rock, you've probably seen Wayans' commanding presence on Drink Champs or his introspection while chatting with Jennifer Hudson or his take on the importance of family alongside his brother Damon on the podcast IMO with Michelle Obama and Craig Robinson. In all of these conversations, he's talking about other people rather than himself. Specifically his parents, Elvira and Howell Wayans, who passed in 2020 and 2023, respectively. For Wayans, it's always been important to honor the legacy of his mother and father, not just by his words, but by his actions. And you can fully understand the people that his parents were by the person he is and how he carries himself. Your parents prepped you for certain moments in your life, and it's like, were you listening? He reflects. Did you really listen to their instruction? How do you show up after their passing? You either show up broken or you show up as a pillar with strength. And when my parents passed, I made it a point to show up like they raised me, with strength and resilience, and not as a broken baby, but as a man. In 2024's Good Grief, the actor delved deep into the trauma he felt regarding his parents' deaths and how laughter helped him navigate it. The show was filmed at the famed Apollo Theater. Wayans used it to help himself heal from heartbreak, and he also showed millions how to use humor as a coping mechanism. He gave his late parents the greatest farewell possible in what many feel is his most vulnerable work to date. During our Zoom conversation, a moment of serendipity is arising. Hold on one second, Waven says before briefly walking off camera. Be a good girl. I love you. I'll see you later, okay? Wayans, himself now a father of three who is working from home that day, pauses to speak with his two-year-old daughter. Amid all the accolades, the accomplishments, and the demanding lifestyle, Wayans is a dad first and foremost. Though beautiful in that unexpected interaction, also gives a glimpse into the challenges that come with parenthood. It's an appropriate metaphor for the circle of life. Wayans has discussed his upcoming stand-up special, Somewhere Under the Rainbow, for quite some time. It was birthed from the dynamic between him and his transgender child, Kai. Parenting Kai, Wayans says, really changed his outlook on life and what it means to love. I'm a different human being than I ever would have been because of this experience. He states, I'm a different comedian, I'm a different artist, and I'm a different writer. I used to always ask people to love me unconditionally, but I didn't know the task that I was giving them until my child taught me the true meaning of unconditional love, and that gives me such peace. Since 2018, the entertainer has released 5 stand-up specials, 4 of them in consecutive years, a rare feat compared with the typical comic's output. Most take 2, even 3 years to put together a solid hour, but Wayans is just different. Ironically, the craft of stand-up is something he picked up later in life, but as with most things he has tried, he embraced the challenge. I wanted to be better, and I wanted to grow, he says. I think that's why my career has been so long. I'm 35 years in the game, and people still haven't seen the best me yet. In a time when instant gratification and overnight success are what people strive for, Wayans is much more focused on the process. With each new special, film, and project, people are going to see a better, more evolved version of him. You'll see the progression of an artist, a stand-up, a comedian, an actor, a writer, a producer, and a storyteller, he notes. And you're going to see it in my work, all my work. These are my best years, and I really feel like this is the age where superstardom happens. In him, Wayne Starr continues to rise with his portrayal of Isaiah White, a legendary quarterback whose time on the field is almost up, but who won't step down until he finds a protege willing to do whatever it takes to win. Produced by Jordan Peele's Monkey Paw imprint, the film puts Wayans in the light we've never seen before, yet it's a space he sits in comfortably. While he may be known for his comedic prowess, his previous performances such as in Requiem for a Dream and Respect show the actor's underrated versatility. He transformed completely, says Justin Tipping, Hymns director, about Wayans' mindset while filming. He really set the tone on set. He would make it a point to shake everyone's hand and speak to everyone on the crew. It was like, yes, we're making a movie, but this is also a family. His example made everyone else want to deliver the best product possible. Marlon was such a consummate professional. It made me say, damn, now I've got to step up to make sure I'm on point as a director. Although Wayans' on-screen persona has taken a bit of a dramatic turn in recent years, he is, along with his brothers, set to helm the Scary Movie franchise once again. It's been about 25 years since the Wayans family has been involved due to bad business, Wayans notes, but not on my part. Fans can expect a return to prominence for this beloved comedy series. I think the world needs it and everything is divine timing, Wayans says of Scary Movie 6. We all need a big laugh. This world is so toxic and we're going to use this to get people laughing again. At the time of this interview, Wayans had celebrated his 53rd birthday a few days prior. While talking about the blessing of turning a year older, a year wiser, I marvel at the passion he has in his voice and the conviction that he still has in his purpose. What keeps you motivated at this point, I ask. I love what I do. It's my calling, Wayans responds. God put me here for a reason. I'm going to fulfill that. The bigger I become in my art, the more of a megaphone I can have for what I'm really trying to give back to the world, which is joy, love, laughter, and healing. Through it all, Wayans never loses sight of what and who he does it for. I'm always inspired because I remember how proud my mother was when I did my art, he says. Remembering that smile inspires me every day. The first person I made laugh was my mama. So every time I make the audience laugh, I hear my mama. Every time I tell a joke, I hear my mama. Every time I do a great performance, I hear my mother clapping. That was beautiful work, baby boy. I just want to make her proud because I know she's watching. Leaders of the New School. How historically black colleges and universities are defying the odds and creating innovators in business, fashion, and STEM. This is by Rachel Ruff. We've all witnessed the emergence of alumni from historically black colleges and universities, HBCUs. HBCU students and recent graduates are everywhere, seizing their moment and breaking into the ever-changing job market across fashion, business, and STEM. Cases in point, Beyoncé's Timeless Renaissance World Tour looks were curated by Hampton University alum and influential costume designer Shiana Taringi. Morehouse College's DeAndre Brown, better known as the Corporate Baddie, achieved viral success on social media as a trusted source of astute and hilarious career advice for navigating the workplace. And the Florida A&M University freshmen Caden Leverty, Logan Kendall, Jade White, Micah Lee, and Jackson Norflis and Layla Brown won a total of $20,000 from Ford at a national STEM competition for their environmentally conscious robot. HBCU alums are constantly reminding the world that their institutions are not relics of the past, but engines for the future. But across the country, the earth beneath the feet of recent graduates feels more like quicksand than solid ground, with artificial intelligence shrinking the availability of entry-level jobs. The era of just apply, the worst they can say is no, is over. Now the worst they can say is we need 3 years of work experience or we don't need you. In this uncertainty, HBCUs continue to stand steady. As Jelani M. Favors, Vice President of the Frederick D. Patterson Research Institute at UNCF, writes in Shelter in a Time of Storm, how black colleges foster generations of leadership and activism. Black colleges were an essential and non-collapsible space that oriented and trained black youths to serve as agents for justice. While Favor speaks to HBCU's legacy of cultivating activists and leaders, his words also acknowledge their infrastructure, which prepares students to innovate and to create pathways for social and economic mobility. According to the UNCF 2024 HBCU Economic Impact Report, HBCUs generate $16.5 billion annually and create more than 136,000 jobs in their communities. Though they enroll only 1.6% of U.S. college students, HBCUs produce 16% of black bachelor degree holders, including 40% of black engineers, 70% of black doctors and dentists, and 80% of black judges. We have to fight above our weight class, says Tuskegee University President and CEO Mark Brown, who points to industry partnerships as economic necessities that build pipelines of talent ready to deliver results. Tuskegee's new partnership with Johnson Energy Storage established the Dr. Lonnie Johnson Technology Research and Incubation Center, TRIC, designed to give students opportunities for industry practice. At Spelman College, that approach has shaped seniors like Reese Winston, a computer science major who has already secured a job after graduation. My recruiter was telling me how every Spelman student he talks to is prepared for the real world, she says. This past summer, Winston worked as a technical project manager intern at Verizon, streamlining systems for engineers. She also has interned at a leading technology platform, Unity, where she created her own virtual reality platform, and at Google as an AIML researcher, working to make Gemini more inclusive for speakers of African American Vernacular English, AAVE. She credits Spelman's small school culture and the opportunities available on campus for setting her up for success. Winston's experience highlights how individual preparation is backed by institutional investment. At Jackson State University, the investment has come through grant-funded initiatives by faculty like Bernice S. Herbert, Ph.D., who launched an energy workforce development project to expand opportunities in fields of emerging technology. We at JSU understand our responsibility to help shape our communities and the competencies of our students, Herbert explains. The responsibility to prepare students does not end at graduation. Alumni like Justin, Mr. Fascinate, Schaefer, show how HBCU graduates carry those skills into unexpected places, even reshaping how STEM itself is communicated to the world. A Hampton grad with a degree in marine and environmental science, Schaefer credits the institution's competitively supportive environment for pushing him to think bigger. "I no longer saw being a black kid from a single-parent home on the south side of Chicago as an excuse," he says. After completing his studies in 2016, Schaefer set his sights on being like Bill Nye. Frustrated with the limits of traditional television, he built his own platform, Fashionate Media, to forge a career in science and communications. "When you're young and just have graduated from an HBCU, it's your freshman year of life again," he says. You have almost nothing to lose and everything to gain from just putting yourself out there and just learning as much as possible. Today, through speaking engagements and his podcast, Curiosity Theory with Dakota Tyler, PhD, Schaefer is working to help people develop a new STEM mindset, one rooted in critical thinking, resourcefulness, and adaptability. For many, the introduction to HBCU culture comes through fashion. Style is everywhere, from alum and paraphernalia stitched with school colors or Greek divine nine letters to the fits at homecoming or royal court. Fashion is not just an aesthetic at an HBCU, it's a cultural currency. Fashion culture at HBCUs matters because it's bigger than just outfits. It's part of our identity, says Tamia Williams, a senior broadcast journalism student at Florida A&M and queen of orange and green. "It's how we express ourselves, grow into who we are, and prepare for the professional world. Even if you're not trying to go into fashion, learning how to present yourself with confidence is something that translates into every career. Few embody this better than Tahir Murray, founder of Legacy History Pride, LHP. Murray's aptitude for fashion started with his grandfather's shoe repair store in Queens, New York. The shop later became a sneaker business after Murray's family acquired the first black-owned Nike account in the U.S. "Growing up in the store, I saw the fashion business the way my dad and granddad approached it," Murray says. "I learned that it wasn't just about the products. It was about the relationships they built and the impact they had." When his family relocated to Atlanta, Murray was immersed in HBCU culture across academics, sports, and the Atlanta University Center community. Surrounded by Black excellence, his vision of his future on an HBCU campus began to take shape. "As a kid, I remember visiting Howard with my sister when she was a student there," Murray recalls. "I remember walking the campus with her, seeing the band, and being on the yard. It immediately felt like home." At her graduation, President Obama gave the commencement speech. He did the call and response, "HU, you know," and I felt something. It was powerful and inspiring. Murray later attended Howard himself. He studied business administration, but he carved out his lane by joining the elite modeling organization on campus and interning with J. Crew before launching LHP. He has since designed Howard's Centennial Paraphernalia line, and he has secured partnerships with NASCAR and Nickelodeon. His brand is licensed with more than 30 institutions. HBCU students are so talented, he says, and are getting sharper every year at building their brands and pursuing creative work. They just need the right goals, right tools, and a stronger framework of support. That's an idea common among HBCU alumni in the fashion industry. HBCU graduates have been the unsung architects of American fashion culture, says fashion and costume historian and 2015 North Carolina A&T grad, Shelby Ivy Christie. "The brands that understand this know that it's not charity work, it's smart business. We're the ones setting trends, understanding emerging consumers, and bringing authentic cultural insight. Partner with us like the powerhouses we are. Give us equity, not just exposure." Partnerships have emerged to directly fund and provide exposure to HBCU designers, both current students and alums. Harlem's Fashion Row launched Icon 360, an initiative providing scholarships and professional development for fashion faculty at HBCUs. The Icon 360 partnership provided North Carolina Central University, NCCU, with a platform to elevate our students and faculty onto the national stage, says Darlene Eberhardt Burke, PhD, Interim Associate Dean and Program Coordinator for Fashion, Apparel, and Textile Design at NCCU. By aligning creative skills with industry standards, students gain the confidence and preparation needed to compete globally. Pencil Lewis College in Detroit, PLC, and Nike dropped an industry-certified design program, Future Soul, for HBCU students and graduates, and notably Ralph Lauren partnered with Morehouse and Spelman to produce the now-viral Oak's Bluff collection, curated by Morehouse alum James M. Steer, placing HBCU aesthetics in a global setting. And the HBCU legacy in fashion dives even deeper. Oscar winner, history maker, and Hampton Inn alum Ruth Carter has used costume design for more than three decades to tell authentic stories, from Malcolm X to the world of Wakanda. Building on that legacy comes a new wave of HBCU alumni who are turning fashion into a scalable business. For Fayetteville State University alum Ariana Edwards, discovering a new industry to transform started with a simple but frustrating problem: sourcing appropriate shoes. The student athlete and a business major, she struggled to find stylish professional footwear for women with larger shoe sizes. By her senior year in 2021, she decided to solve the issue herself, establishing her brand, Vila Shoes. Her first break came when she submitted her pitch to Pharrell Williams' Black Ambition Prize and won seed funding to get started. From there, Edwards balanced a full-time job at Nestle while building her brand, doing pop-up shops, consumer testing, and conferences until she connected with her first retailer, Macy's. Violet continues to grow into a line that will meet the footwear needs of modern America, modern professional women. "I want to continue serving the same customer, which is the plus-size corporate woman," Edwards says. "I think that as we look to the future of millennials and Gen Z being the new managers, the idea of what a perfect corporate woman looks like will evolve too." Faculty members across HBCUs note that the push to translate classroom experiences into business ventures is accelerating. Students' minds have expanded to understand that their opportunities are limitless, says Aaron Tucker Olawale, PhD, chair of the University of Maryland Eastern Shores Hospitality and Tourism Management Department. She points to initiatives like the school's upcoming private club and resort management degree and its PGA-accredited golf management program as examples of how HBCUs open doors in fields that students might not immediately view as entrepreneurial. Expansion into less traditional and growing industries is the story of Delaware State University alum Tyrese Little, who is building his business in sports management and NIL, name, image, and likeness. Like Edwards, Little was a student athlete. He made the best basketball team at Norfolk State University and was a walk-on before realizing that he wanted to focus on earning a business degree. Graduating in 2021, Little got his first big break with an internship at Johannes Leonardo, an elite advertising agency in New York City. He recalls listening to executives who told him about the business. "It's one thing to get to speak to someone who works within the system," he says, "but it's another when you get to speak to a person who created a system." That experience led Little to launch his Blue Robin Group. This hybrid creative consultancy builds brand strategy for companies and helps athletes manage their brands in the new NIL era. His clients already include former Pittsburgh Steelers running back Jawan Chisholm, West Virginia University's running back and rising star Jaheim White, and several small businesses. Looking ahead, Little wants to use his entrepreneurial success to create opportunities for the next generation of HBCU talent. "I think that part of our role as entrepreneurs is to turn around and create jobs and hire people," he says. "That's what I'm focused on, figuring out how we can partner with HBCUs and get a pathway started." Alumni like MBS Tech founder Miranda Stanfield exemplify that cycle of reinvestment. A 2011 North Carolina A&T graduate, she admits her journey has not been linear, but says that A&T believed in me when no one else would. That foundation led her to a career in federal cybersecurity. Stanfield now pours that belief back into students with her initiative, Tech on the Yard. The program offers an immersive tour that transforms HBCU campuses into career empowerment zones for tech. Picture a mini Afrotech with the energy of an HBCU homecoming. A DJ, band, roll calls, and opportunities for students to meet recruiters and innovators. "We know what our student population is," Stanford explains. "Nobody wants to sit in a two-hour lecture. We're bringing the homecoming vibe, but making sure students leave with the skills and confidence to step into tech. What unites every HBCU alum or student is not just talent, but the belief that each one can and must leave an indelible mark. As industries shift under the weight of emerging technologies and economic uncertainty, who HBCU grads have been built to be is useful not just for the workforce, but for shaping the world. And in every field, STEM, fashion, business, and beyond, the HBCU community continues creating leaders who carve out their own lanes and rise to the top. Birkins over Bitcoin is the smart money design in designer accessories. With authenticity as the gold standard, luxury bags are no longer mere status symbols. They're key components of long-term wealth strategies. This article is by Markita K. Harris. Carrie Bradshaw, the fictitious main character in Sex and the City, summed it up best. I like my money where I can see it, hanging in my closet. While the iconic series lacked black talent, its perspective on fashion as a form of currency has stood the test of time. Once considered a frivolous purchase, luxury handbags have quietly become savvy investments for many black women. An Hermes Birkin or Chanel Classic 1112 flat bag can do more than upgrade your outfit. But if you do your homework and choose wisely, they can outperform some stocks and cryptocurrencies. Numbers don't lie. The data is striking. Black Americans collectively wield tremendous spending power, estimated at $2 trillion annually in the U.S., while specific data on luxury resale as it relates to black women isn't available, luxury shopping among that demographic seems to have surged, at least according to what's trending on social media. Nielsen data reports that black women outspend other groups in multiple categories, and this influence extends to the secondhand luxury market. Vintage and resale in particular have taken off. According to a census-wide survey commissioned by e-commerce platform Whatnot, 41% of consumers choose purchasing luxury handbags over contributing to their 401k. What makes a bag a good investment? When we asked about the critical elements that make a good investment purchase, we received a crash course from trusted luxury reseller The Real Real. Authenticity is key, Hunter Thompson, director of authentication at the company, explains. We examine key details like logo, stamps, date code, stitching, and hardware, all of which are unique to each brand and model, he says. For high-value pieces, we also use tools like X-ray imaging and precision scanning to inspect internal construction and materials that aren't visible from the outside. Our proprietary image analysis technology, Vision, allows us to assess things like leather texture and embossing at a microscopic level. More than just a logo, beyond the big names, subtle factors determine a handbag's value. Iconic brand signatures like distinctive logos and hardware matter, a Real spokesperson explains. Materials matter too. High-quality craftsmanship and signature leathers not only wear well over time, but also hold their value. Limited production runs, whether from niche designers or heritage houses, can drive long-term demand, especially when tied to exclusivity or cultural relevance. Smart money starter style. While stocks, real estate, and cryptocurrencies remain traditional routes to building wealth, luxury handbags, especially those sourced and resold with care, are turning out to be more than fleeting indulgences. And nowhere is that truer than among black women making their mark in this evolving market. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I am Tyra Banks, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast. If you have questions, please call us at 919-832-513.